But I can't walk. I have to hold the microphone. Okay. Let's see how I do. It's bad. Just like this?
Yeah.
Revered Toastmaster, Rabbi Moshe Shoin, revered Rabbi Moshe Sweet, revered rabbis and friends of Shalom Mitzvot. It has been the traditional practice of my ancestors for many generations to base the thoughts on the current events of the day on the Parshas HaShavua. And this is so because the Torah, as the Dvar Hashem, has the potential, every Parsha of the Torah has the potential to shed light on all the current events of the day. I shall try to conform to this traditional practice of my ancestors. And I would like to base my thought upon Psukim in the last few sedras. At the beginning of Lech Lecha, the Torah mentions the broche that the Rebbeinu Shalom bestowed upon Avraham Avinu. And the broche consisted in V'nivruchu b'chokom mishpechis ha'adamo. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Rashi makes the comment that this implies that whenever a person will wish to bless his friend, he'll say Tehei Ke'avon. That's the meaning of the broche that the Rebbeinu Shalom bestowed upon Avraham Avinu. In other words, the broche to Avraham Avinu consisted in Avraham Avinu being treated as a symbol, as a prototype of blessing, so that whenever a person wishes to bless his friend, he'll say, may you be like Avraham. The broche that the Rebbeinu Shalom bestowed upon Yitzchok, which is in this last Shabbos Sedra, was a little different. The Rebbeinu Shalom said to Yitzchok, V'izborachu bizaracho kol goy oretz, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And Rashi again makes the comment that this means that whenever a person will be wishing to bless his friend, he'll say, may your children be like the children of Yitzchok. So there is a change. It's not exactly the same formula of broche that the Rebbeinu Shalom expressed in respect to Avraham. In respect to Avraham, the broche consisted in Avraham himself being treated as the symbol of broche. The broche to Yitzchok was a little different. Not that Yitzchok was to be treated as a symbol of broche, but Yitzchok's children were to be treated as symbols of broche. What is the broche to Yaakov? In the next Shabbos Sedre, so the Rebbeinu Shalom said in his broche to Yaakov, V'nivruchu b'cho kol mishpecheis ha'adomo uvzarach. So in the broche to Yaakov really consisted of a combination of the broche to Avraham. The broche to Avraham consisted in declaring Avraham himself as the symbol of broche. The broche to Yitzchok consisted in declaring Yitzchok's children as a symbol of broche. And the broche to Yaakov consisted in declaring Yaakov and his children as a symbol of Bach. What's the meaning of all that? Of this variance? There is a meaning. Now, I'll pick a baller. So, Avraham Avinu personified the Midah of Chesed. And that is mentioned in Kabbalah, but it's the Feirush Pasuk. In Vayero, Ki Yidatif Liman Asher Yitzaveh, Es Bonov, Es Beis Yachov, Vishomru Derech Ad Hashem, Las Yitzdoko Mishpat. So that is the Midah that Avraham Avinu personified. Tzedakah and Chesed. Tzedakah and Mishpat. Chesed. Hopikabole, the Midah that Yitzchok Avinu personified was Gvura. The Midah that Yaakov Avinu personified, Hopikabole, is Tiferes. Tiferes Hopikabole represents the synthesis of Chesed and Gvura. Chesed plus Gvura equals Tiferes. So, Chesed, that is the summa bonum in Yarus. That's the highest thing in moral and spiritual dimensions. Elom Chesed Yibon. The whole world was created for Chesed. That was the Midah that Avraham Avinu personified. Yitzchok personified the Midah of Gvura. What does Gvura consist of? So, in this last Sedra, until this, the Torah gives us a detailed blueprint of the Midah of Gvura. Gvura does not consist, chas v'sholem, in physical strength, in fighting, chas v'sholem. Gvura consists in perseverance, in patience. Unlimited perseverance. And in last week's Sedra, the Torah tells us that Vayeshev Yitzchok Bikro, and then there are wells that Avraham Avinu dug, and the Philistines, they stopped it, they oseisim it, they filled it up, and then Yitzchok redigged that well. Then the Philistines, the hostile Philistines, they were determined to wipe out the wells that Avraham Avinu dug. So again they stopped it. Again Yitzchok did not allow himself to become frustrated by hindrances, by obstacles, by problems. And he again redigged the well. And the Philistines again stopped it, was saying it. And then Yitzchok left Kor and he went to another place and he dug a new well. And that well, the Philistines, not that they didn't want to, but they didn't, they were not saying. And that was called Recheves. And then again he went to Beersheba and he dug a new well. Rabbeinu Bechaye mentions that this shows why is the Torah telling us all these facts to advise us that we have to emulate the example of Yitzchok, of Gvura. How do you exercise Gvura? Gvura consists in determination, in perseverance, in a firm determination not to allow oneself to be swayed by frustration. Imagine Avraham Avinu dug wells and then the hostile Philistines, they stopped it, even though it meant a detriment to themselves. After all, they enjoyed the wells that Avraham Avinu dug. It was for everybody's benefit, but the sin of the Philistines was so intense that they decided to fill up and to be saying to stop the wells. Tommy Snapshi in Plisht. Hatred is a potent force. And then Yitzchok Avinu had the patience, the perseverance to read it. And again, they stopped it. Wasn't it natural for Yitzchok to become frustrated, become discouraged, and to give up? No. Yitzchok did not give up. Because Yitzchok personified the middle of Gvure. Gvure consists in a refusal to allow oneself to be swayed by frustration. That is the midah that was typical also of Rochel. Mi'ano le'inochem means a refusal to become frustrated, to become discouraged, a refusal to make peace with failure. That's good. But then they again stopped it. Yitzchok, he saw that the Philistines are so determined, so he went to a new place. And there he succeeded. Even the Philistines didn't dare to be seismic. They knew they couldn't be seismic. So the Rabbi Bechaya says that this teaches us Maisa Oves Simon Liboni, how to exercise Gvura. Number one, that two things Rabbi Bechaya says. Number one, that we should not become discouraged and not give up just because we are faced with obstacles, with frustrating circumstances. We have to be determined to carry out our goal. Number two, Rabbi Mechayev says that in carrying out our goal, we first have to redig the bayis, the wells that our ancestors dug. Read again. Not only that. Vayikolem b'shemis kasher korovif. Rabbi Mechayev says that's also a lesson to us. That when we redig the be'eris, the wells that our ancestors dug, we have to call them by the same names. We have to follow up that pattern. It has to be dug in the same way. The same way. The measurements and everything. With all the specifications. It has to be dug in the same way as these were dug by our ancestors, the deities. And then he says there is another remes, and that is basis upon the Rambam, but he elaborates it. The Rambam says it, but he elaborates Rabbi Yochai. He says that these bayis, which lifi pshutishal mikro, are descriptive of physical wells, but they are merames for spiritual and moral wells too. And the Ramban says that the first be'er that Yitzchok redigged, so then the Philistines contended against him and they stopped it. They were seizing it. So it was called Asek. Al-Shem Shis Haskwimei, because they contended against Yitzchok for rebuilding, redigging the Bay of Avron. And then when he redigged again a Bay of Avron, so again they contended, and they called it Sitno. Ramban says that this is Nerames and the spiritual wells that the Jewish people dog in the Baris Rishon, so that was Asik, and the second well that Yitzchok redigged is Merames and the spiritual wells the Jewry dug in the Baris Sheni, and the third well that Yitzchok dug, which was a new well, not a well that Avraham Avinu dug, is Merames and the spiritual wells the Jewry will dig be ikvise de Mishichai. So this the spiritual wells. The Jew will dig, not redig, a new well, will dig b'ikvus imshicheh. That will be rechayvis. That will not be wiped out. So that's what Rabbi Lechaya says. Now, this is glory. This is glory. So the reason is why the Brochet Avrom, that the Rebbeinu Shalom bestowed upon Avrom, consisted in declaring Avrom as Avrom himself as the symbol of blessing, because Avrom's personality was Chesed. So Chesed consists in using Avrom as the symbol of blessing. But Chesed by itself cannot be everlasting. Chesed by itself, uncoupled with Gvure, with the determination to preserve the Chesed, is doomed to destruction. Because there are so many Philistines, hostile Philistines, wicked people, who are ready, who are determined to destroy the Chesed of Avram, the concept of Zdoko Mishpot. And that is really the reason as to why Yitzchok was willing at first to transmit the Broche of Avram to Esav. What's the reason? And Rivka had to have recourse to devious methods. In other words, to procure the broches from that Yaakov should procure the broches from Yitzchok by deceiving Yitzchok. As a matter of fact, Yaakov Avinu was very reluctant to do it. There is a remarkable pshat by the Goyen. The Gemara in Makis, at the end of Makis, says, V'deiver emes bilvovei, ze Yaakov Avinu, she'omar ula yimsheini ovi, vo'yisi be'inov kisamteya. So everybody raises the question, how does this expression by Yaakov indicate that Yaakov Avinu was an ish emes? Yaakov Avinu was afraid, it seems. He was afraid lest he'll be caught. Even a person who is not an ish emes, he is afraid to be caught. He doesn't want to be caught. So how does that pasuk show that Yaakov Avinu was the symbol of emes? So the Goyen says, there is a very simple explanation. In Loshon HaKodesh, we have two words that indicate doubt. One is pen. Be on guard, beware against allowing yourself to be swayed by your temptations. And there is a word, ulai. Ulai has the connotation of doubt, and pen has the connotation of doubt. But there is a basic distinction, the Goyen says. Pen in English would be lest. Ulai in English would be perhaps. When somebody expresses a doubt and he doesn't want it, he has a doubt, maybe there'll be a certain contingency. But he doesn't want that contingency to take place, but he still suspects maybe the contingency will take place. So then he uses the expression less, pen. Does the Torah want Chas v'Sholem that the Jews should become swayed by their temptations? Pen. Otulai is used when somebody expresses a doubt and is hoping that that contingency will take place. So, at first blush, it appears strange. Yaakov Avinu expressed the doubt, maybe he'll be caught, and he didn't want to be caught. No one wants to be caught when he does something devious. So he should have said, "Pen yimusheini ovi, voyisi beinov kisamteya." Why did Yaakov Avinu say, "Ula yimusheini ovi"? So from this, the Gemara Makis deduces that Yaakov was the Ishemes, because Yaakov Avinu was hoping against hope that his father will catch him. So he said, even the best, under the best circumstances, that my father will catch me, will find out. So that will reduce the evil to a minimum. So I won't be deceiving him. He'll find out. But still not a pleasant thing. It will reduce the evil to a minimum, but it's still not a pleasant thing. So we see that Yaakov hoped against hope that his father will find out that he was deceiving him. But he wasn't sure. So he used the word of Ulai. So that's why the Gemara says, Deiv Remez Bilvovei Zi Yaakov Avinu, Sh'omar Ulai Misheini Ovi. And why did Rivka do it? So Unkele says, Binvui Samgeloch. She was told by Binvui that she should tell Yaakov to resort to devious methods. Now the question arises, why did Hashgoche act in a roundabout way? If the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted Yaakov Avinu to get the broches, all that the Rebbeinu Shalom had to do is to tell Yitzhok Avinu to forget about transmitting the broches to Esav. Esav is not true for the broches, but he should transmit the broches to Yaakov. It would have been much simpler. Why did Hashgoche have to do it in a roundabout way? The answer is, Yitzchok wasn't so naive that he thought that Esav was a tzaddik. I mean, what some London said, Yitzchok was blind, he didn't know. It's not so. Yitzchok was blind, but he was very smart, even though he was blind. He knew quite well, L'meir Asruach, L'Yitzchok, so he knew that Esav was Neved Avizore. But Yitzchok felt, of course, Yaakov is a Nishtom Yeshiv Olim. Yaakov was gravitating towards Chesed, but Yaakov lacked Gvure. Gvure was not an innate quality in Yaakov. It was an innate quality in Yitzchok Gvure, but not in Yaakov. Yaakov was an Ishtom Yeshiv Olim. He was Mitzumtzum Daldam Shel Aloche, and he was only absorbed in doing Chesed. And Yitzchok felt, of course, Chesed is the summa bonum of all values, but Chesed needs a preservative. You know, when a plant has to manufacture certain products, sometimes they put in a certain substance as a preservative. Salt is a preservative. Bris al kol kabon chotat riv melech. That's a bris elam, because it's so. Gvure is the preservative. Chesed is the summa bonum in moral and spiritual values. But gvure is not the summa bonum, but it's a preservative. In order to preserve chesed, so that the hostile Philistines will not destroy it, it must be coupled with gvure. So how could Yaakov preserve the chesed, the heritage of Avraham Avinu, in face of a determination by the Philistines to destroy chesed? So Yitzchok thought, by being the car of Esav, Esav did possess the middle of war. That was an innate quality. He wasn't afraid. He was ready to fight. But unfortunately, he abused it. He didn't channel it in a constructive way. He channeled it in a destructive way. So Yitzchok was hoping that by being Nikarev Esav, Esav will become a Baal Teshuvah, and then he, together with Yaakov, will be able to build the Knesset Yisrael. But Rivka understood better. Rivka understood that Esav will never become a Baal Teshuvah. That's why the Hashgoche bin Vue told Roches in an apparently devious way, so that will involve Yaakov in a confrontation of Esav. That will toughen up Yaakov, and the middle of Gvure will be instilled in Yaakov, even though it was not inherently present in his personality. So in order, that's why the bracha to Yitzchak consisted v'izboracho b'zaracho kol goy oretz. Avraham Avinu personified chesed. Some mele Avraham Avinu was declared as a symbol of bracha, but Yitzchak personified gvura in order to raise children, to preserve. Then we have to have gvura. So is v'izboracho b'zaracho kol goy oretz. What is Yaakov? V'nivrechu, the bracha to Yaakov was v'nivrechu b'chok kol mishpiches ha'adom u'zaracho. According to Kabbalah, tiferes, beauty, spiritual beauty, consists in the combination of chesed and gvura. When chesed is combined with gvura, then it's spiritually beautiful. Chesed uncoupled with gvura is the summa bonum, but it's not beautiful. It cannot even be everlasting. But Yaakov personified the combination of chesed and gvura. That's why the Rebbeinu Shalom, the Bracha to Yaakov, said, "V'nivruchu b'chokol mishpechei sa'adom u'zaracho." So, in order to preserve the heritage of Avraham, Yadus, so we must combine chesed with gvura. And what is gvura? Gvura consists in perseverance. So that one is to redig the beiris of our beiris. And as Rabbi Mechaya says, b'yikvese de mishiche, then the Torah is merames, we have to build new beiris. Now, the school of Shalamit, which was founded by Reb Mordechai Gimpel Volk, whose brother was one of the Dili Ador, a contemporary of my grandfather, Reb Chaim Drisker. So that was a new beir, because in the old days, hundreds of years ago, in the European towns, we had schools for boys, but for girls, we didn't have any schools. There was no need for such beirs. And as the Chofetz Chaim points out in the Likutei Halachos on Seite, in regard to the Gemara, Kolam Lamed Hesbit Teiro Kil Molam De Tifles Chazal, when the women didn't study any other thing, and the atmosphere in the Jewish life was imbued with Kedusha and Tzedek and Chesed, so then a woman didn't have to study Torah. She was able to absorb all the spiritual and moral values from the air, from the birds. She had to go to school, in Islamic school, in order that a Jewish girl should become imbued with the concept of Stokko and Mishpot and the Munah of Tarens, yes. She absorbed it from the air. Such a natural thing. But today, the Chofetz Chaim says it, today that women study Tiflis Mamish, so then it's a mitzvah to teach Torah to girls. Not only Torah Shebichsav, but Torah Shebalpeh too. And I am sure that if the Chofetz Chaim would be living here in America today, he would be proud of the activities of Shalamit School. That's a new beir, the Ikvese de Mishiche, that Reb Mordechai Gimpel Volk built and dug. And the Gemara Misach Shabbos says, Al Tigu B'mishichoi, Elu Tineiki Shal B'sraban. Al Tigu B'mishichoi, Tineiki Shal B'sraban, what's the connection between Tineiki Shal B'sraban and Moshiach? Chaim Voloshin explains it very simply, because in order to be ready for the Geule, then the chinuch of the Tineiki Shal B'sraban, that has to pave the road for Bias HaMashiach. So that's why the Gemara says, Al Tigu B'mshichei Eilu Tineiki Shal B'sraban. But there is a remarkable thing. Generally, according to Digduk, Hebrew grammar, so the plural of Zohar is different than the plural of Nikeva. For example, Yelet, a boy, so the plural is Yelodim, Yaldo, a girl. So the plural is Yaldos. Tinate is a boy. So the plural should be Tinakim Lifluk. Tinakes is a girl. So the plural should be Tinoikes. Here, the rabbim of boys is Tinakes and the rabbim of girls is Tinoikes. How come? All right, we find in Digduk many deviations. It's not the only thing, but it requires an explanation. The answer is, when it's a question of being mechanich, Jewish children, there cannot be any difference between Jewish boys and Jewish girls. The Meshech Chochmo, Rabbi Asimche, he says that, Gemara says that chinuch is midrabon. So it only means chinuch is midrabonon. In other words, to be mechanich, a child, that he should do every mitzvah, that he should hear Shefer every Rosh Hashanah, he should be mispal every day, three times a day. That's midrabon. But in general, to be mechanich children, so that they would walk b'derech Hashem, that's a mitzvah d'raise, and that is implicit in the pasuk. Ki yidati fu manashe yitzave es bonoi ves bonov es veis yachov. And the Meshech Chochma says, es bonov means boys, chinuch habonim, and beisei means girls, chinuch habonis. So chinuch habonis as well as chinuch habonim is implicit in the mitzvah of ki yidati fu manashe yitzave es bonov es veis yachov. So years ago in the European Shtetlach, it wasn't necessary to have a school of Shalamit in order to imbue the Jewish girls with Dushen talents. Yes, but today it's necessary, as important as Chinuch Habonim. And it's necessary, it's indispensable for raising a generation that we should teach Torah to girls. Torah Shebachsavel, Torah Shebalpeh. And all those who say you cannot teach Torah Shebalpeh, they are mere halocha neged adin, neged Chafetz Chaim, and neged kol gdelei v'chach v'Yisrael. The school of Shulamit is the new bayah that Reb Mordechai Gimpel Volk built 60 years ago, and that together with the other schools for Tzneiki Shel Bisrabon will pave the path for the Bias HaMashiach B'meirah B'yomein.